Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Film Haven Reviews. I'm your host Sawyer, as always, and today we are continuing our Nosferatu's theme with the very on-the-nose Nosferatu the Vampire by Werner Herzog. Now, I said that I was going to practice my Herzog impression last week, so I haven't practiced it that much, but I did watch a couple videos of him just because he's just a funny character. And there's this one video on YouTube, you guys should check it out if you haven't seen it, but he's talking about chickens and how dumb they are, and he's like, "It is astounding just how incredibly stupid the brain of a chicken is. If you see a chicken, pick it up and stare into its eyes, and you will see the unfathomable darkness inside." I'm not even joking. That's exactly, like, almost exactly what he says. And he sounds pretty similar to that. Like, he has that cadence. May not be a perfect impression, but, you know, I think some people will dig it. People who know Werner Herzog know what I'm talking about. So, amazingly, I think this is my first Herzog film that I've ever seen. So, that's exciting. And what a strange one to start off with. I did like it, but it's definitely its own vibe and not going to be everyone's bag. And I have a feeling that is kind of just how Herzog works. Just watching just random videos of him and some like clips from the documentaries that he makes, he has a very specific outlook on life. And a lot of it is, let's just say, abnormal. Like there's this one, I'm not going to do the impression again, but there's another video of him like looking at a like grizzly bear and talking about how he sees nothing but the cruel indifference of nature. It's very nihilistic. He also like ironically hates TV and thinks that we need to have like a jihad against TV. Like we need to go to holy war against shows like Bonanza and Rawhide. Of course, that was a long time ago. Now he's literally on Mandalorian as a character. So maybe he's grown out of that. But just from the little bits that I've gathered from his personality, I couldn't really separate that from the way that this movie was filmed. It's very, it is very art house, honestly. I don't really think there's another way that you can put that. It feels avant-garde, but at the same time, it follows the same flow of the Dracula story from Bram Stoker's. And specifically, it does call to Nosferatu. I saw that Herzog feels like Nosferatu is the greatest German movie ever made. And you can definitely tell that he loves the source material just through the way that some of the decisions are made in this movie. Now, I did do a review on Nosferatu many years ago, within probably the first year of doing reviews on Instagram, and I gave it a pretty high score. But it was above a 9 just because of the precedence, man. I mean, there's a lot to it. The history, it's a very important movie for horror cinema. I mean, it was so scary at the time that it was banned. And the impressionism within the cinematography is also incredible. And that's something that I always really enjoy, especially in black and white films, how the use of lighting and the way that you can express emotions through cinematography is always very exciting for me. And even though this movie is in color, I will say Herzog definitely achieves that goal and makes a lot of subtle and not so subtle references to the original Nosferatu with some of those uses of lighting. And I'll get into a little bit of that later. So yeah, the story just follows the original Dracula story with a little slight twist, which is what the Nosferatu movie is. Because if I remember correctly now, I could get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the reason why the name is even Nosferatu and stuff like that is because they couldn't get the rights to Dracula. And so they kind of did like a Dracula, like copyright friendly Dracula. So that's why there's like a couple little things that are changed in the story. And in Herzog's version, instead of going to London, he's going to Wismar, which very well could be the case in the original movie. It's been a long time since I saw that. I'm not sure if maybe that was the town that he goes to instead of London in the original. So the basic story of Dracula, for anyone who has no idea, there is a Count Dracula in Transylvania who sends after a person named Jonathan Harker, who is supposed to, he's basically kind of like a lawyer or like a, some kind of admin that is just getting Dracula to sign off on some documents so that he can buy some property in Vismar. And so but in order to do so, he has to go to Castle Dracula. And so part of the story is him getting there. And then once he's there, Dracula, you know, he's kind of an odd dude. It's kind of an introduction to who Dracula is. And eventually, you know, I mean, I don't want to ruin the movie if you've never seen it, but most people have seen Dracula. So basically things don't go very well for Harker. And then Dracula makes his way downtown, gets on the Demeter, which they don't say the name in this movie, so it might not be the quote-unquote Demeter, but it's definitely the same deal. Gets on the Demeter, stows away, gets to Vismar, and then he's trying to get Harker's wife, or betrothed. I'm not sure if they're married yet. And, yeah, that's pretty much the same story in this, except for there's a couple of variations, which I really kind of appreciated. One thing I really liked was the importance on the first section of the story, the journey of Jonathan Harker and him getting to the castle and him meeting Dracula. That whole section to me is the most compelling part of the story of Dracula. And so I really appreciated how much time there was spent on that storyline. And really in that kind of avant-garde, but that kind of impressionistic filmmaking where it's very visual, not a lot of words. There's definitely dialogue, but a lot of visual storytelling. I really enjoyed how authentic and how real the journey felt to get to the castle. And by real, I just mean they took their time. You really felt like he was on a journey. And because of the slow style of the filmmaking, like long shots, lots of real scenery, no sets. It's all just like on location, on site filming. You've got this like really cool spot where it's like that in the book too, where he stops at this inn that's got like local villagers. And in this case, it's like a Roma camp that's also by this inn, like a tavern. And they're kind of being the harbingers of doom, being like, you can't go to Castle Dracula. That's not good. And then he spends that night reading about Nosferatu and vampires, and it's just very atmospheric. Really enjoyed that part. And then he walks off because no one will take him in a carriage to the castle, so he walks on his own, and you just see him going into the mountains, and just a very beautiful shot, as well as very ominous. There's a very ominous vibe to the whole deal. And then the closer he gets, the more he's like walking into the mountains, and there's this beautiful like chasm scene where he's walking along this cave trail that cuts through this chasm, this rocky chasm. And it's, oh man, it's perfect setting right there. And one thing that the villagers talk about that I thought was a really cool addition in this movie was the idea that the castle is not real. They say that some say that the castle is actually a ghost. It's a phantom itself. And I was like, did they just say ghost castle? Because that's awesome. Like super spooky, super metal, super gothic, like very cool idea. And I haven't really heard that before. I mean, you have haunted mansions, but this is like the actual place is a ruin of itself. But when you get there, it looks newer. It looks fully formed. And there is a argument that you can make in this movie that that is the case. Because once he actually gets closer to the castle, you can see this great shot of the silhouette of this ruined castle. And there's like this fog, and it's light outside, but like the fog is rolling in and it's actively getting darker. And it's showing that he's getting there just in time to get there at night so he can meet Nosferatu. And it's like, I don't know, it's just perfect. But it's also saying, hey, this is a ruined castle. But then once he gets there, it doesn't show an outside shot. He just kind of is like right outside the vestibule. And so you don't really get to see, because it's all kind of shrouded in this like cave system too, because it's like in the cliffs, which is just really cool. And the castle is, I mean, it's not like the fanciest thing in the world, but it's definitely fully formed. It's not a ruin. And so they don't really explicitly say in the movie, but there is a part where Jonathan's writing in his diary and he says this whole place feels like a dream. And so I feel like there is kind of this insinuation that the place is not really, it's an apparition of the reality, which is that he's just sitting in ruins or something like that, which is really creepy And you don't, it doesn't tell you one way or another. And I love that, that it doesn't say. You just kind of have to deal with it. Because there's this other shot of the ruins again later that is like a time-lapse shot going through from night to day. And it's, oh, it's beautiful. And also just like shows the passage of time, because Harker is staying there over multiple nights. And every night he has these like really creepy conversations with Nosferatu. And speaking of which, let's introduce him. We've got Klaus Kinski. I don't know if I'm saying that right. The guy who's always in all the old Herzog movies. They're always in the same movies together. I know that about it. I haven't seen them, but I know that about it. And right away, he is looking weird. He is looking freaky. He is looking kind of exactly like what I wanted this theme to be, which is like, he's definitely not suave. He's actually, it's really funny, as creepy as he is, and he is creepy, don't get me wrong. He also kind of comes off like a proto-goth, like very moody, and like he's complaining about being immortal, and he always just kind of seems like, ugh. He's like always like moaning slightly, and like seems like he really wants to come after Harker like immediately and suck his blood, but he's like holding back, so he's just like, honestly, like really gross. Like it just kind of comes off really gross, which is perfect, honestly. He's not suave. He is weird. And yet Harker doesn't, like, alarm bells are obviously ringing in his head, but I don't know if it's just the necessity of getting him to sign the documents or like some kind of actual, like the vampire seduction, but like in a more trance like sense. Like he is feeling under the power of the vampire psychologically without feeling like any kind of seduction. It's just more like I just feel like I can't move, like almost like he got sleep paralysis or something like that. Because there's several scenes where he's Nosferatu is like lurching at him a little bit, like slowly, and Harker, like obviously as a pretty able-bodied guy, he should easily be able to just run away or push him away or do something, but he just kind of like lets things happen. So you could scream at the screen if you want and say, why aren't you doing this or that, or this is stupid, it's illogical. I think that there could be some kind of case to be made that there's a psychological element to this. And there's a lot of just weird choices in the acting in general. The acting is actually pretty bad, I will admit that. It's not good. And part of it, I knew it. So I looked this up because I was like, what is going on here? So obviously there, if you watch the movie, you can tell that the audio has been overdubbed. So the audio is coming from a different, it's not on site. It's definitely overdubbed, which that does happen in a lot of older movies, especially in the 70s and 80s for some reason. But I was wondering what, I'm like, is this supposed to be in German? And then I'm looking and the mouth is corresponding with the words. So I'm like, okay, this is English, but it's overdubbed, weird. And then there's some scenes where I'm like, it's not matching, but then I'll look again and it starts to match. Well, I looked it up and it's actually filmed in both German and English. He overdubbed it in both English and German, and yet, but when he was filming, he filmed some scenes in English and some scenes in German. So there is both English and German being spoken in the actual scenes, but when you're watching, like say I'm watching in America, I'm watching the English dubbed version, and so it's all English, but there are just going to be some scenes where it doesn't match up, which is just so, I've never heard of that. It's very strange to me. But apparently Werner Herzog says that the culturally authentic movie is the German one, so I'm sorry. Anyway, Herzog is just such a character. So yeah, the acting is not great. The best acting comes from Nosferatu himself, from Klaus Kinski. I think his work as Nosferatu is very subtle. It's very reserved, but it says a lot. There's a lot of inexplicable moments. Like his body language is very strange. The way he folds his hands together with the long nails, and he'll like stretch his arms out and contort them and then like kind of dance around a little bit. He's very strange. But I also read, which this is hilarious because I know that they end up having a falling out. I've like looked this stuff up even though I've never watched any of the movies. But Klaus Kinski is apparently horrible on set, and he throws these terrible tantrums, and he's just like a bear to work with, like absolute child. And Herzog has like been wrangling him in movies forever because they're like a Aguirre Wrath of the Gods movie. That was like 6 years before this movie was filmed. Anyway, so apparently that reserved acting that I like so much from Klaus is coming from Herzog's direction, because in order to get him to act in that reserved manner, because he was naturally wanting to be more energetic, he would get Klaus, he would provoke him into a tantrum, because he knows he has them, so he knows how to push his buttons. He would make him have a tantrum to the point where he would get tired out, and then he'd be like, all right, now roll it. Which is very sick, honestly, but also, you know, in cinematic history, it's pretty funny in a way. It's one of those things where he really likes this actor, and he's been dealing with this actor's bad behavior for a long time at this point. And he's going to say, okay, if you're going to be like this, I'm going to use that in order to get what I want out of it. So I guess, I don't know, it's a bit manipulative. Actually, it's a lot manipulative. It's very similar to me, like, of Stanley Kubrick, how he would do a million shots and get people, in, like, acting crazy. And all the stuff about The Shining, getting, like, apparently The Shining was horrible for Shelley Duvall, like, totally broke her brain. She never got over it because of the authenticity that he was trying to create and the terror and stuff like that. So, yeah, I feel like you can't really get away with that kind of stuff these days, and there's probably a reason for that. But for the purpose of this movie, I think it ended up getting a really good performance out of Klaus. I mean, Nosferatu is by far the best acting in the movie. I mean, it's hard. It's a really low bar to pass, but it's very good acting. All the other acting was really bad and very cardboard. It honestly reminded me a little bit of Tommy Wiseau. It's not that bad, but it's like reading your lines instead of actually acting. And I feel like, though, once again, and this is like, this seems like it's going to be classic Herzog. This is the only movie I've seen, but I got a feeling there's going to be something to this. But it's definitely fits the vibe somehow, because it's this dreamlike movie. Nothing seems kind of real. Everything kind of seems like a fever dream. There's a lot of avant-garde imagery going on and a lot of lines that just are coming out of nowhere. Like, there's a scene where Nosferatu meets Lucy, the main female character. It's like the first meeting, and he talks to her about something that's going on in the story, like, oh, hey, sorry, I was rude to intrude. And she just starts going on this, like, soliloquy about darkness and life and death. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, it doesn't actually make sense as far as, like, how two people would really interact with each other. But for the purpose of an artsy movie and some kind of art house film, it does make sense. So it fits this, like, weird dreamy vibe. But if you're trying to look at it objectively, or maybe if you can take this movie two different ways. You can take it seriously, or you can make fun of it. And I think you could probably find plenty on both sides of that. I could definitely see someone watching this movie and being like, what is going on? And this is too much, and I don't get it. But I think if you got to kind of key into it, you got to kind of fit the vibe that it's obviously going for it. You got to meet it on its frequency. And if you do that, then you might enjoy it. There's really only a few things about the movie that I kind of was like, this just, like, legitimately doesn't work. I'm trying to meet you on the vibe, and you're kind of killing it right now. And that was on the score. So it's twofold. The score was actually really good whenever it was being eerie. I think it really lifted those scenes of horror, specifically when Harker is first, like, or just, like, all the scenes with Harker and Nosferatu is very creepy, because there's these, like, you know, sometimes it's like light chanting in the background, or just like one, like, string or one little note that's just raising that tension to a level that is uncomfortable and horrifying, honestly, especially when you combine that with Klaus's Nosferatu, his weird, the way he stares, his little fangs, the ears, the white face. It's all just very unsettling, which that is great. But then there are a few scenes, just a few, but there are a few scenes with this kind of lighter tone in the score, and it just takes me out of it, to be honest. The first one I could forgive, because it's the beginning of the movie and Harker's not really like in any kind of ominous situation yet. He's just with Lucy and they're just having a good, kind of a weird, somber good time. And it's just kind of like silly music, but maybe time appropriate. I mean, it could be of the period. It could be fine. But then there's one scene where Nosferatu is coming into Vismar and he's taking his coffin and finding his place to rest at night. And there's that same music. It's the same theme, that light theme. And I'm like, this is totally not working. It's like, it's acting like Nosferatu coming to town is like some jaunt when it should be like really creepy. And there's all these rats around because he's bringing plague with him. Like, there is a miasma that is following him as he comes into town, which is a really cool idea. And in general, that whole implementation of the plague into the story is really cool, and I enjoy it. But it doesn't fit that score. That vibe is just really off. And there are just some times where the acting is so bad that it breaks through even the justification that it's all part of this weird dreamlike atmosphere that he's trying to create. This one's kind of a hard one to rate for me. I think I'm going to settle on an 8 out of 10 because I really enjoyed it. I think it was a very excellent movie. I would definitely recommend it to certain people, certain friends of mine that I think would enjoy it. It's not for everybody, but there were just a few things that were keeping it away from like a true masterpiece. I think in some ways that it's like almost there, but some of that, the score, the acting, some of the decisions that were made were very quizzical. Like Nosferatu's actual death was just, maybe I could just see someone trying to convince me that there was something impressionistic about that. But to me, it just looks silly. A part of me is trying really hard to take it seriously. And another part of me is being like, that's just kind of dumb. So there's just a few moments like that. But for the most part, I was really into even the weird choices for the movie. There was a lot of good visual storytelling. There's this great scene because in Vismar, there's this big courtyard that gets a lot of play later in the movie. As the plague is coming in, you get to see all these pallbearers taking like lines of wooden coffins into the courtyard, and you without even having to say anything, you know, like people are dying from the plague, and like a lot of people are dying in the plague, and I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a good way to show the story without telling the story with dialogue. And then I also liked how Herzog kind of flipped the script a little bit from the original movie. So Nosferatu gets foiled in the original movie by literally just like, oh, I forgot that the sun is a thing. I was so, I guess, distracted by the beauty of the Lucy character that I forgot that the sun was coming out. And he just like gets evaporated by being exposed to the sun. It's the same thing in this movie, but they actually make a point of saying like, only a woman of pure of heart can distract the Nosferatu from knowing that the sun is going to come out. And while that does sound really silly, she's aware of that, Lucy is, and she kind of flips the script. Instead of just being this damsel in distress, always on the bed, just like, oh no, what's happening to me? She's taken the initiative. I wish she took the initiative a little bit more. That's kind of what I was talking about a little bit with the kind of the dumb, like things that are just kind of dumb. Like, I understand that there is like this weird avant-garde atmosphere to the movie. And so this dreamlike logic, she's kind of taken her time with these kind of things. But I mean, really, I mean, if you try to think for 2 seconds and you realize what you need to do, then you need to just do it and not just walk around the city for like an extra 10 minutes before you actually do what you know needs to be done. Anyway, I digress. The point is, I do like that it ends up being her actions. Like, she is taking the initiative to foil Nosferatu, and I really liked that they did that instead of just having her be like this completely powerless character. In fact, all Van Helsing in the movie is completely powerless. He's actively telling her, Lucy, that she's needs to be using science and not, you know, giving into this superstition and impractical nonsense. So I thought that was a really cool kind of twist. But then, of course, as a little of a theme here is that with everything that I like, there's always like some weird thing that's kind of undercutting it. Not enough to really lower the score to like a 7 or 7.5, but like I think an 8 is good. It's very enjoyable. I would even watch it again, maybe put it on the background or something like that. It's definitely an experience. And there's a few shots that are just really incredible, atmospheric, and mood setting, and just it really has like I was talking about before with the impressionism, with the lighting. There's definitely a lot of really great shots of there's one where he's coming up to one of the buildings where Lucy's at, and she's talking to some people on the first floor, and he's literally becoming like bigger than the house, like filling up the entire front of the house with his figure. And that's just like a really, I mean, I guess you could say that he's kind of impressing upon her that he is going to consume her in a way, I guess. And then that would be my interpretation of it, maybe. But that's what I love about shots like that, is that you can kind of interpret them how you want. They're supposed to mean something, and not enough movies do that a lot of times. You know what this reminds me of, honestly, and I think the reason why I'm thinking about it is because Robert Eggers is actually going to be making a Nosferatu soon, which I'm super excited for. And Peter Skarsgård is going to be Nosferatu, which I just think is perfect. And yeah, it's going to be a great movie. I'm super excited for that. And I think he is the perfect director because he has that kind of impressionism within his cinematography, specifically in the movie The Lighthouse, which I adore that movie. And the fact that it didn't even get a nomination from the Academy still haunts me to this day. Not that the Oscars mean anything, but like, come on. How are you going to have a movie with William Dafoe in it and Robert Pattinson in it? Like, these are big names. You should be getting some credit, like some looks at least from the Oscars. And then if anyone from the Oscars was to watch that movie, you would definitely see that the cinematography was next level stuff, like this kind of stuff you don't see anymore when it comes to like a very classic feeling, I guess is what I'm saying. Very much like this movie, where there's impressionism, the camera is a character, just like the lighthouse is a character. And it's trying to tell you something. I mean, point is that I think Robert Eggers kind of has that vibe that Herzog gives off, at least in this movie. Now, I haven't seen other Herzog movies, but I know he's very intentional with his style. I can definitely tell from this movie and just from the videos that I've seen of him talking, that's a man who knows his opinions on things. And it's very obvious that he has an agenda with everything that he does. His personality and his opinions are 100% being filtered through the camera and through his direction. And I feel like Robert Eggers, I don't know him personally, like, or I haven't heard, like, I haven't read anything about him personally, but I just feel like he gives like so much thought to every single bit of the movies that he makes, be that The Witch, The Lighthouse, or The Northman. All of them have a very particular style. And lighting and cinematography plays a huge role in that. So I think Nosferatu is a perfect film for Robert Eggers to do, and I'm like super excited to see that. But anyway, my whole point of bringing that up is I feel like they don't make a lot of impressionistic lighting anymore in like major motion pictures, like kind of like AAA titles, if you could call it that, A-class stuff. So that's why Robert Eggers really excites me, because he kind of gives me that Werner Herzog film, at least from the vibes of this movie, Nosferatu, The Vampire. So that's it for this week. 8 out of 10. Werner Herzog, man, we're going to have to get into him later because he's intrigued me. As much as I think that I would not like him personally to have like a coffee with him. And I think that he's made obviously some very manipulative decisions here. Specifically with Klaus getting him to have tantrums in order to get him to do the acting that you want him to do. I think that he makes some really interesting movies, especially this one, the only one I've seen, but I know about the others, and this is not even considered his masterpiece. So I'm definitely willing to get into some more Herzog. We'll get into that eventually. I'm glad that I finally cracked this nut. And I think it was cool to go into this movie. I think it's kind of early middle of his career. Just because I don't really know his style. So sometimes it's really fun if you're getting into a new director that you know is legendary and you don't really know their style per se, to just like jump into the middle of his career, just so that you don't really have a context. Because now every Herzog movie I watch now, I'm going to be comparing Nosferatu to that movie, the tone and everything like that. So I don't know. It's a weird thought. I'm kind of rambling tonight. Sorry, guys. But hey, that's the good thing about Herzog and these kind of directors, where they really get your cinephile brain going. I'm really intellectually stimulated by all this. But I think I've pretty much said everything I need to say. Just some closing notes here. If you guys did not catch it, this past Tuesday I released a special episode, a Halloween episode, where me and my girlfriend Allie got together and compared notes on the Child's Play franchise. We both ranked it. It was really fun. not quite as long as the Jason episode, so it might be a little bit more palatable. I really enjoyed doing that, and we had so much fun making it. So I would love for you guys to go back and listen to that if you hadn't already. So yeah, that's it for this week. And next week we're going to be closing out our theme of Nosferatu with the survivor horror movie 30 Days of Night, which I am very excited to talk about. So hope you guys have a good week this week, and I will see you next Friday.